Well, the much awaited event of the week happened, and that was China's first quarter GDP figures. And as many expected, it was pretty bad or very concerning, with China recording their first quarterly contraction in GDP since they started keeping records in 1992. We're talking about a 6.8% shrinkage in the world's second largest economy, and also double-digit declines in retail sales and fixed asset investment. Industrial production, though, offered a little bit of hope, only shrinking by 1.1%. And Chinese authorities are still banking or sticking to their guns by saying that the second quarter will show a sharp turnaround for China's economy. What will this mean for the rest of the region also? And what will this mean for an economy that's grappling with the body blows of the COVID-19 pandemic? Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Hao Zhou. He's an economist with Commerce Bank, and he's here to help us get a better understanding of what these numbers will mean for us. Mr. Zhou, thank you so much for joining us. As always, I hope that you and
Thank
your
you.
family are in good health, and I hope you guys have been staying safe in these times.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
All right, so Mr. Zhou, let's talk about these numbers. As we mentioned, 6.8% decline. That's staggering for a country that's used to seeing GDP growth numbers of that particular level. You watch Chinese GDP numbers more closely than most of us do, actually. What were your impressions of the numbers? Were these worse or actually better than what you were expecting from the first quarter of China?
Well, I think, we have to be honest on these kind of things. You know, first of all, I think, basically, there's no, China didn't really hide any, the virus damage at this moment. And we see that, the investment growth in retail sales has continued to plunge in March. But industrial production really catch up quite well. I think, to be honest, you should give some applause to these guys. You know, they're really working during the virus outbreak in the country. So I think, minus 6.8, you have to say that maybe China has already done a lot to save the economy, save the job market. I would have to say that for a lot of economies, the lockdown measures could have even much bigger impact than China had. Because, right now we know that China is the first country to report all these kind of virus, and also China's first country to lift the restrictions. So basically, China is a good case study to show that how damaging a health crisis could be on our economy. So minus 6.8 probably means that whole year GDP growth will be below 2% or even below 1% for China. But I think, for a global economy, a recession is looks like, inevitable, given all these kind of lockdown globally. So I think, that would be some kind of bad news. On the positive side is that China still provides support to the economy. Industrial production, manufacturing sector looks relatively better. So maybe that also means that maybe the worst for China's economy is over. The only thing is that how, the growth trajectory will be alike in the future. Basically, I think, a lot of uncertainties, but of course, we can't expect any kind of rapid rebound in Chinese economy anytime soon, given all this kind of virus globally.
So now the focus, now that we know how bad it is that economic recovery. You have mentioned that we'll have to keep track of how fast this will actually be. In your estimations, based on the numbers we're seeing also, what do you think it's going to take and what do you think is next in terms of an economic recovery? What do you think might it take for China to perhaps start this long path to a recovery that we're talking about?
I think, two things here. First is the manufacturing. Manufacturing, I think, it's relatively easy to pick up because, the government can provide infrastructure, investment. The big project actually can really help for the manufacturing side. The real concern is actually on the services side. I think, even after lockdown, even every country like Singapore, even after lockdown, people will still keep some social distancing for a while. I think that already happened in China. So basically, you have one restaurant open, but nobody go there. So that will be the biggest headache for maybe for a while at least. So for these industries, you know, the best is to provide some relief to make them to survive, you know, for now. But I don't know whether this kind of thing will have long-term impact, because government can support, can relieve, you know, these kind of things, you know, for a while. But if kind of long-term projection will tell you that nobody, or at least 50%, half of the people will not travel in the future, then you can't, you know, provide support to the airlines industry forever. So that's actually the problem. So I think, you know, short-term view is very clear. You know, government can provide support. Every government in this country to provide support, provide relief to different sectors. But long-term projection will be largely dependent on people's behavior, which I think, you know, nobody knows for now. But one thing is clear, you know, people will have to, you know, shorten the supply chain. We'll also have to think about, you know, whether some industries are really sustainable from long-term perspective. I think, you know, long-term perspective, we're probably at a turning point of something. But I think not too early to say that.
We're still speaking to Mr. Hao Zhou, economist at Commerce Bank, about those China GDP numbers. And I'm glad you brought up those the state of consumption in China, actually. There are stories, I'm sure you've noticed this also, Mr. Zhou, about there being some strong pent-up demand. For instance, that Hermes store in Guangzhou that sold $2.7 million out the first day of reopening. And now there's talk about pent-up revenge travel and revenge buying from Chinese consumers. Based on what you're seeing, and you're in a better place to talk about this than I am, what is the state of the Chinese consumer, and is it wise to bet on the Chinese consumer to perhaps drive an economic recovery, given all of these anecdotes of revenge buying or revenge consumption that's happening?
Yes, I think, you know, in general, you know, China's consumption is actually a big theme for the economy. And given that 1.4 billion people in one country, and those guys, you know, relatively, you know, increasing their income very rapidly. And we do see that, you know, China has been advanced in a lot of consumption sectors, especially the online stuff. So I think, you know, this is a good thing, because, you know, basically online means that you can naturally keep some social distancing when you do some spending. So that part, I think, you know, China will be relatively leading the global market in terms like online or e-commerce. The other thing is that, you know, basically whether people go shopping, go to shops, you know, go cinema, that's actually maybe a second part of the story. I think, you know, consumption side, of course, you know, online consumption will continue to grow in China. But the traditional ones, I think, will be still under pressure. That part, you know, I don't think government can really help too much. Basically, you know, that depends on people's mindset, and also whether people really want to go back to the old norm, which before the virus. So I think, you know, we don't really have issue. We don't have any clue on that at this moment. But I think, you know, in general, the people, you know, in China, given the size of the market, they'll continue to consume, they continue to spend as long as the economy is relatively on a good shape. So this and the next year, consumption will still play a quite important role for the economy, and the government will definitely try to drive up these kind of things for the time being.
And Mr. Zhou, can you give us your outlook on the Chinese yuan and how it might be affected by all of these stimulus measures being enacted by the government and the economic impact of COVID-19, as we've seen from the first quarter numbers?
I think, you know, it's a relative terms. You know, basically, yuan also depends on a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, basically, I think, you know, dollar has relatively directionless at this moment. So basically, that means that probably Chinese yuan will be relatively stable. And, you know, according to past experience, maybe that'd be helpful, because in the past, you know, Chinese authorities normally want to keep the currency stable amid the economic crisis. So if that kind of, trend or behavior can be repeat it again this time, and maybe probably we're going to see Chinese yuan will be relatively stable around like 7 to 7.2 for quite some time. So that means that for Asian currencies, it's at least the Chinese yuan will provide as an anchor to stabilize the market expectations. But in general, if the growth still relatively soft, I think, you know, for some countries with some relatively high debt and also relatively high, you know, current account deficit, you know, the currency will still be under pressure. So I think, you know, in general, we see some kind of these kind of things, you know, in the FX market. But at least Chinese yuan will be likely to remain stable for now.
Mr. Hao Zhou, economist at Commerzbank, we thank you so much for spending time with us and giving us a better grasp of those Chinese GDP numbers and what that will mean for the markets and global economies moving forward. As always, sir, I wish you and your family safety and good health in these trying times, and we hope that you're surviving the circuit breaker. Take it easy, sir, and have a good weekend.
Thank you.